It's Open Call with Eric and Chris.
That's me.
It's a show that you'll never want to miss. It's Open Call.
It's Open Call. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Eric Michaud.
And it's December 28th, 2019.
Yes, it is.
And we're both in London, England.
Yes, we are.
We were going to take a few weeks off from the podcast, so I actually didn't bring my podcast equipment. And so we're actually recording this on both of our iPhones.
Yes, we are.
So we have this, like, a ramshackle run and gun.
Because we had to talk about what we saw today.
Well, we both saw Cats here in London.
Boy, did we ever.
We've already done an episode on Cats. Amber Petty, our friend from Los Angeles, came in and talked about seeing Cats on a night that I was supposed to see it in Los Angeles and did not.
Right.
Because it was going to cost me $40 to see.
By Uber to get to and from the theater.
Instead, I paid money to fly to London to see it. So we paid £7 to watch it today.
Yes.
So
which was maybe too much.
I don't know. Was it too much? So we saw it, and we saw this movie in London, which I think makes a difference.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing...
where it was born.
As a child at the end of the show, the movie said, "That's Trafalgar Square."
Right.
So overall, what did you think of this movie?
Misfire is a word that comes to mind. It wasn't as bad as I wanted it to be. Like, it wasn't... It's not going to be a Showgirls. It's not going to be a Xanadu. It's not going to be a The Room. It's not... It's the level of badness isn't bad enough for it to reach, like, the camp hilariousness. It does in certain scenes, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's just kind of boring and dull. And I find it's very dark, like visually.
I think there were some problems with projection in our theater.
Do you think so? Because I was having a hard time seeing it.
It was also flickering a lot, which I was like, are they trying to evoke nighttime? But then I actually think there was a problem technically with the projection.
Oh, maybe. Okay.
But it was very dark. It was, I sort of in between where you and Amber land on this.
Okay.
Cause you haven't heard the...
Not yet. No, I haven't heard what her, I kind of wanted to go in without too many spoilers. Okay.
So, because I think she feels it was sort of in that ballpark.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sort of in between because I actually think that it is bad enough to be fun to watch in that way. Cause I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was very fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we went. I think it's too weird in a, like, Polar Express way to become one of those movies.
Like the Uncanny Valley kind of way?
Yeah, it's too creepy to watch. But I will say that it's probably too early for us to know whether or not this can be one of those movies.
Maybe.
Because all the movies you mentioned, that and, like, The Apple and Sleepaway Camp and stuff like that.
It took a while.
Like, they all get reclaimed 10 years or more after they come out.
Mm-hmm.
Although
The Room kind of happened right away, and, like, Glitter kind of happened right away, and Burlesque kind of happened right away.
But
Glitter and Burlesque have kind of died off.
That's what I mean. Like, they aren't, I don't remember the path that Rocky Horror took, but
I mean, I know it was a stage show first here, and then it transferred to Broadway and flopped, and then they made the film.
Yeah.
After that.
And then the film was not well reviewed.
No, not at all.
But I don't know what the journey was for how long the film took to go.
Before it started getting, like, the midnight screenings?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the problem is that this isn't going to get enough people to see it to generate one of those things anytime soon.
Right.
Because it certainly could get a Rocky Horror style treatment in terms of reacting to the movie. I think I'm in between. I had fun watching the movie. I think that there are some genuinely good things about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the uncanniness of it won't lend itself to you, like, wanting to watch it. It's not that it's off in a way that doesn't feel fun the way that some of the other movies you mentioned are.
Right. Like, for example, there was a moment very early on in the movie where Munku Strap is, like, it's the first
one. Monkey's Trap.
He's kind of like the narrator who brings Victoria in.
Yeah.
He, like, there was one point where he's coming kind of right at the camera, and you and I both went, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, it's very off-putting.
And, yeah. Like, by the way, I think we are going to spoil it, but, I mean...
Yeah, probably.
There's no spoilers that aren't in the play. There's a few little changes. But we're going to talk about plot. So, like, yeah. if you really care about the plot to Cats,
because there isn't really one. But I mean,
I think there was way more plot in this than the stage show.
Yeah, they tried to give it some sort of a bit more of a narrative.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Monkey Strap. Because I was like, I don't remember there being like a main narrator in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Harry Grainer in the original.
Oh, okay. That wasn't Harry Grainer in this movie.
No.
What's her name was like Francesca Hayward
is Victoria, the white cat.
Victoria, who is basically, I know she kind of feels like the main character in the stage play a little bit, but she's really the main character in this.
Yeah, for sure.
She's just in a lot of the stage play. But
she's like the featured dancer in the show.
But she's like the protagonist of this one in a way that wasn't the way it is in the play.
Not at all.
I actually thought that. I feel genuinely, this is not ironic, I feel that they did a good job streamlining the storyline to make more sense. I actually don't think that if you see this movie, you should be able to say like, oh, I don't understand what was going on. Like, it was pretty clear what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that, honestly, I think the play is clear what's going on too, but people like to say like, I couldn't tell what was going on. It's like, they're all, it's Eurovision for Cats.
Pretty much. Except at the end, one of them gets to die.
Yeah. So there, I think that I ended up being like maybe not okay with the way the movie portrayed the cats, but understanding that in the end, they were very clearly going for an amalgam of human and cat like traits. That, for example, in the stage play, they're theoretically like cat sized, and like none of the objects are cat sized. They're like the tire is like the size of a human tire relative to the cats on stage.
Yes, yes.
They don't have any equivalents of like, there's not like a small car with the tire or whatever.
Right, no.
But this one, they are in like a London that is all catified.
Right.
Like all the signs are cats.
Right.
So there's a weird difference where like Mr. Mistopheles had a hat on, and I noticed that the hat had buttons on it, and I was like, those buttons are like microscopic.
Yeah,
so they had a lot of human equivalents, so they are going for a weird amalgam between the two worlds,
and the scale changed a lot.
Changes
during Skimbleshanks, where they're tap dancing on the railway. I was like, they're the size of mice at this point.
Well, also it's weird when they humanoid cats, their heads actually aren't big enough.
No.
The way a cat's head would be.
Right. They look too sleek or too like rounded and small.
That actually like thought Judi Dench looked the most cat-like because she had like a big coat on.
Except she really looked like the Cowardly Lion to me.
Yeah, she looked
every like time I saw her, lion. I just wanted to go, courage.
Yeah. So I think if you go in asking too many questions about the metaphor that they're trying to use, they very clearly, it is a mix of things, and it's contradictory, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it's a little bit of an odd decision for to have cats wearing clothes.
But then sometimes they don't. Like,
because sometimes they don't. So,
like, you're naked.
So it really looked, it didn't bother me, like, with Taylor Swift's character, but McCavity looked genuinely naked at the end.
He, like, when takes he off his coat.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
So, and it was only because of the metaphor they had established,
right?
That like, Bustopher Jones was wearing a coat.
Deuteronomy's wearing a coat.
Deuteronomy's wearing a coat.
Skimbleshanks is wearing pants.
Jenny Anydots is wearing her skin.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, that was really.
And she did it twice.
Even as somebody that's like, hey, I think it's kind of a weird otherworldly mix of this and that. Even that was like, okay, that doesn't make sense.
For her to unzip her skin.
Yeah,
and then have a dress and more skin underneath.
She had clothes and more skin underneath. So that was weird. And there was a definite zipper on the skin.
Yeah. And it's like, and
so I guess the premise is she's wearing
a cat
like a snuggie
suit
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But like,
so it wasn't her skin, it was a suit.
That looked exactly like her skin.
Yeah.
That was form fitting and looked like. Yeah. Wore a suit to look naked like all the rest of the cats, but then actually had clothes on underneath it.
Eric and I have two cats, and I will say that neither of our cats raises their leg in approval for things, which happened several times.
A lot.
And hilariously, Deuteronomy did it near the end. But like, it's just not our cats do that, but it's to lick themselves.
Right. Like,
it's
to
not
clean.
It's not to be like,
meow.
I approve. I mean, so I think any path to enjoying this movie has to be like, you have to abandon the idea that the premise is going to be consistent, because they were also sometimes meowing. Sometimes they would say the word meow. Sometimes you would hear real cat sounds.
Right.
And sometimes they would just like kind of go like, rawr. Like there were all sorts of expressions.
Anytime they hissed at each other, it was hilarious.
Yeah. And our audience almost tipped over into laughing at the movie.
Oh, they did. I think they did.
They did. But I felt a little bad because like the woman in front of us was crying after Memory.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. And I felt that's, we talked about this on Amber's episode, but like, I do think there are people that are going to genuinely like the movie. And some and the kids, actually, some of them were genuinely liking the movie. Mm-hmm. And so I do think as a hipster adult, it is kind of shitty to go in there and like
ruin it.
Ruin it for some people. I felt that way when I saw Glitter on Long Island at whatever that mall is out on Long Island. Me and my friends were just laughing at it. And these teenage girls were just like sobbing watching it.
Oh, geez.
So.
I will say, we six people walked out during the movie?
Yes. A couple walked out during Jenny Anydots' number, and that's very early.
That's very early.
And then a couple times, one or two times, it looked like it was a child having to go to the bathroom. But it was weird the pace everyone was leaving.
They were like running out.
The old couple left during, I think, Gus the Theater Cat.
Right. Which
I thought was a weird, like, this is your song. Right. So I thought that the dancing in general looked very strange.
Yeah.
It never looked good, even though I was like, I could tell these are good dancers that you've motion captured.
Yep.
But as usual with CGI stuff, like the gravity doesn't look right. They don't jump and land in ways that look normal.
Right. Right.
And Lay's twins were in it, and they looked fucking weird.
There were a couple of times when it was very uncomfortable watching them, because they would do stuff where they would like come back up from the ground, and it looked like they were in reverse, but it looked eerie.
I think when you see – those guys are amazing, but when you see them in real life, it's like, oh, that's a human body doing that weird thing.
Right. Now it's like
– now this is a CGI
– cat hybrid thing.
It looks like what looks – uncanny in real life, but cool because they're making their body do it. In this case, it looks like there's an error in the animation. Because he was doing his legs like blah, 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 underneath him, and that looked really weird.
It did.
You recoiled at that.
I did. Yeah. I recoiled a few times.
Yes. And you out loud said like, oh, I don't like that.
I couldn't help it. I was like, oh, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I really didn't like that Jenny Anydots ate some of her dancers.
Oh, I did like that.
Oh,
I thought that was funny. I thought that was funny, and I thought eating the cockroaches was funny. But she ate some of the mice. She got her hand caught in a mouse trap. This is another question. Like, the scale doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was a giant mouse trap.
Yeah. They made it very clear that the mice were children and they were like scared of her.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember being in the stage. I remember the mice are in the stage play.
The cats dress up in trash like mice and cockroaches.
They were like terrified.
Yeah.
So that was weird. That whole scene reminded me there's a Kingdom Hearts level that you were playing a lot of where you were going around a kitchen table and.
Oh, the Alice section.
Having to jump on a table. That reminded me of that.
I didn't like the new arrangement of Mungo Jerry Rumpelteazer at all.
I did not like that arrangement, but then I also remembered that I despised the original arrangement, and the original arrangement is four times as slow. The original one is like, Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer had a but that, like, that song would have been like 9 minutes long. Mm. So I guarantee that arrangement is trying to speed it up.
Yeah.
It's not very melodic.
No.
But I hate that original song, so I was kind of okay.
Oh, that's one of my favorite songs in the show. I think it's fun. I think it's a really fun song.
Yeah.
So it made me upset. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, this is one of my songs that I liked in this show, and they're not even doing it right. I also didn't like that they reassigned a lot of the songs. Like,
oh, did they?
Mephistopheles usually sings Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer. Rum Tum Tugger usually sings, like, they all kind of sing about each other, so they made a lot of them first person
songs. In this case, they all pretty much sing about themselves.
Yeah, which I didn't love because it was like, it felt braggy in a way that's like, rather than them presenting each other.
So the only thing is, though, Mephistopheles sings about, does he sing a lot of Mungo Jerry and Rumpelteazer?
In the original, he does, but then, well, on the original London recording, he sings it, but then every time I've seen it,
yeah,
I think they sang it themselves.
Because I remember thinking that they were impressive for all the dancing they were having.
Because they do those like cartwheels with each other across the stage during it.
Because I will say that one thing about singing second or third person about some a different cat doesn't make as much sense for the competition.
Right. That's true.
But I did think it was a little weird to see Gus sing about himself.
It seemed braggy, didn't it?
It seemed braggy, and I kind of wish that song had a turn. I missed a turn that I thought would have been interesting, which is I wanted him to like be really frail and then really kick out like a big number.
Right. Like to transform fully into Growl Tiger or to Fire Four Fertile.
Right. So on in the stage version, that's where used to be the
Growl Tiger's last stand.
Right. And he like acts inside of a play within a play, right?
Right.
Oh, wait, does he play Growl Tiger?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. It's Growl Tiger, so. And this one is like a separate person.
Yeah, I believe, as I recall, it's been a long time since I've seen the stage show, but as I recall,
it's only been a few months and I don't recall.
I know that like the whole back wall of the theater would, or the stage would come down and it would be a ship.
Yeah.
And it was, because I always thought it was weird that he talks about his greatest creation and his greatest and role.
He's not in the play.
It's not the show that he ends up doing.
Yeah. So then at Pantages this last time, they did do something like that, but it wasn't the Siamese.
It was pirates, right?
Yeah, I think it was pirates.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the original, they're Siamese cats kind of dressed like,
yeah.
No, because they had like blue, big blue eyes and like
kind yeah, of Siamese-y because actually, looking. I remember when seeing it as a kid that like, I feel like the lights went out and you saw them in the dark.
You saw something. The blue eyes glowing and yeah. stuff, yeah.
So I thought, now I don't think that number is great. Like the play within a play, but it seems to me that in a movie, that is one of the things you should visualize.
Sure.
And let Gus have like a great performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was weird because he didn't really have that. And also didn't really, I know, I wanted to like Ian McKellen in this, but I actually didn't think he was very good.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah, he was weird. He was just, there are a lot of performances where like, real borderline cringy where you're like, oh, this is almost good but also bad. Actually, I thought Judi Dench in general was very good. I always think she's great.
Mm.
But there are also moments of hers where you're like, ugh.
Yeah. I said to the cast of Voldemort because I went straight from the movie mm-hmm. into like the show. And so I got to the dressing room and everyone's like, what'd you think? And I was like, I've come away with it thinking I've had just about enough of Rebel Wilson. I've had just about enough of her.
Yeah, she was. It was weird with comedic things. Like, there's like a batting average type thing where like she takes a lot of shots. This is two sports mixed together. Field goal percentage. She takes a lot of shots and doesn't hit that many. Honestly, I thought James Corden was funnier.
Yeah, which is unusual.
Unusual.
But like, I feel like in everything she does, she's like, I'm the one who always falls down and gets hurt.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm sick of it.
And it's not in a way, I would say in the same field, I would say Melissa McCarthy is superior.
For sure.
I actually would have liked to see Melissa McCarthy in this movie.
She could have been Jenny Adidots.
I was surprised that Taylor Swift took like a relatively unimportant part.
They never even said her name.
That's Bombalurina.
Bombalurina. Which, that song was originally sung by two women. Uh-huh. McCavity's supposed to be two women. And I thought it was so dull.
It was very dull.
It was so dull.
Honestly, I was like, oh, I thought Taylor Swift was a better singer than this.
She's not, no. I've never thought she's a good singer.
I was very surprised.
And her new song I didn't think was great either.
It was fine. It's pretty. It's just weird that she writes a song for this musical and then doesn't sing it.
Yeah, but she's on the recording. Like
she was over the credits, which you missed.
Yeah.
I thought that we discussed, I know a lot of people discussed this apparently, and the first line of the New Yorker review is like, what is Deuteronomy's coat made of? Which is true. Like, now that I think about it, maybe they make the coats out of their own discarded fur.
It looks like.
But it's also white. Why are they wearing coats?
It looked like she was wearing a cat coat made of like her dead relatives or something.
Well, also Gus said like my coat is shabby and frail.
Yeah,
I'm like, but we're not talking about your actual coat.
No, we're talking about the coat
as a cat.
Yeah,
your coat.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't wear like a trench coat. Like that's
right.
That's weird. I am tempted to go again one of the nights that you're doing the show and live tweet it.
Oh my god.
I think it's worth seeing if you could see, like, I would see it as a matinee.
Maybe.
I thought Jason Derulo was whatever.
He's not a good dancer. Like he's.
I think he is a good dancer in real life. Didn't That's look the thing. Good. That's a, the only dance that came across well. I thought was Skimbleshanks.
Yeah, agreed.
I wish it had been more. Just show us the cool dance.
Yeah. The cinematography I thought really undercut the dancing. It didn't showcase it well at all. And it's Andy Blankenbuehler's choreography, so I'm assuming it's good. Mm-hmm. But like, you couldn't really tell. And there was one scene during the Jellicle Ball where they were panning in a circle around, and there were all these lifts happening. And I'm like, it's happening so fast. We're going past it. I can't focus on it to see what's happening.
I remember that exact moment. I remember thinking like, oh, this is a totally constructed shot from like random lifts that we've put together. Like it feels CGI-ish.
Yeah, it was blurry and it didn't work.
I think that when I would say 99% of the time that you try to make the camera a dancer as well to move in a way that moves with that it ends up just making the dance look worse. The best dances on film are ones where like in history are pretty much ones where the camera just kind of sits there,
mm-hmm.
and you just get to watch the amazing people.
Exactly. You get the full picture of what's happening.
That's true of like fight scenes as well. Whenever there's lots of cuts, it feels like you're hiding the ability of the people.
Mm.
I did notice that, I guess kudos to them for being like, let's have this woman play Victoria. She very clearly seems like a good dancer.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I will say that like it just doesn't feel quite, I would say it feels even less real than like the ballet dancing in Black Swan. It just doesn't feel like it. She's touching the ground in like the right way or something.
Hmm.
The it just doesn't feel kinetic. But I would say kudos to them, I guess, for like having her actually sing.
Yeah.
But there's people in the movie, I would include her, where it's like, okay, you're definitely a dancer first.
Right.
Because she has to do a duet with Jennifer Hudson. And like Judi Dench, really, Judi Dench and Jennifer Hudson were the only people that I felt like they were really singing. Like they were really had recorded their actual voices.
Mm.
Because Judi Dench, I feel like, has a particular way of singing that probably doesn't require a lot of processing. She's mm-hmm. not really like belting in any crazy way.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Munkustrap and the Victoria and like the Mungo Jerry, they felt the same way I feel. It's like the opening of La La Land. Some of those people are like, oh, you're a dancer. Like, right. We've made you sound
As good as we can.
But then when Jennifer Hudson's really, they're very clearly, this is the same guy who directed, Tom Hooper directed Les Mis.
Mm-hmm.
So for Jennifer Hudson, I would almost guarantee that they did the same thing they did for Les Mis, which is they gave her an earpiece and maybe there's a piano accompaniment in the ear.
And recorded her live. But
they're letting her sing at her own pace, because otherwise she did an insane job of like lip syncing.
Oh yeah,
which I think would be crazy. So I feel like you're really getting her singing, and I thought she was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else, almost everyone else, felt very, very processed.
Yeah. I hated the way Tugger was recorded. Or filmed as well.
Yeah.
Rum Tum Tugger. The whole number, like, of them randomly, like, jumping into that, like, diner.
Milk bar.
Yeah, and then out of it, and then back in. It was like,
that's Rum Tum Tugger's fault. Because whenever he wants to go in, he wants to go back out.
Right.
Yeah, so that's
says it right in the song.
You can't blame the show. That's Rum Tum Tugger's.
It's just his prerogative.
Yeah. That's what you should have had Bobby Brown
do. I was just going to say.
Because my prerogative is basically the Rum Tum Tugger song.
It is.
He can do what he wants to do. Yeah, that some of that felt like busy for no reason.
Yeah,
that show can forever. You could just cut Bustopher Jones. No one ever needs to see Bustopher Jones.
I want to say there have been productions that have cut Bustopher Jones. I feel like I saw a national tour and Bustopher Jones wasn't in it.
Was there anything that you noticed was cut?
Not really.
Yeah.
There were definitely different lyrics in places.
Uh-huh.
There were different people singing different things. I didn't love I guess this is a spoiler, the idea that Mistopheles is unsure of his...
I thought it was interesting. In the show, in the stage play, does he recover Deuteronomy?
Yes. But it's
but done it's more like, just it's just like I'm a badass. Here's he's back.
Well, also in the show, I mean, Mistopheles is generally like the best male dancer, and that whole number is him just doing trick after trick after trick, and it's incredible. It's a joyous, fun number because he's just dancing his ass off. So this
and he's not doing a ton of dancing.
Not at all.
On the chorus, there it's everybody else going like, oh well, that's interesting.
So it felt like, oh, you've undercut what was one of the fun numbers.
I thought for the sake of the screenplay that it actually gave the, I would say that based on narrative alone, that the second act of this was much cleaner and made more sense than the stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was very, I didn't really like these things, but I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So like, I don't necessarily need a romance between Mr. Mistopheles and Victoria.
Oh, God.
Which I don't think is in the play.
No.
But it did make sense when she motivated him to, like, really do it. And it's them putting in this, like, narrative arc that isn't there at all.
Right.
So I was like, oh, at least there's a shape to it. They added more stuff where McCavity would be like, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
And then they showed what was happening. In the stage play, I don't remember him killing the other or kidnapping the other cat.
He doesn't.
So it actually makes sense. I would say if I could tell you the story of this movie in a way that makes way more sense than the stage play.
Yeah.
Like, there's this clear villain. He's kidnapping people
to a barge.
So that he can be the only one and he wins, blah, blah. And then when he doesn't get what he wants, you know, this plucky young magician saves the day. Like that, I will say that's to be commended that it all makes more sense. I don't think it really, a separate conversation would be like, does it really matter? Like, did you have to make those fixes?
Right. But I guess for a film, they feel like there needs to be a bit more of a narrative, which I understand.
I thought the changing Mistopheles arc was interesting. It was kind of boring because it was like, it was just repetitive.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, when you are introduced to a character and he's like, I'm a magic cat. This is what I am.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, but I'm not good at it and I can't do it. Well, then don't introduce yourself that way.
I also think that they could have done it in a different way in that he could be a magic cat, but like just good at like regular magic, but then not necessarily. I mean, no one would be good at like, can you teleport a cat back here? So he could be a perfectly fine magician,
right,
but failing at this really hard thing.
Right.
Now, I do think that if I had my dream casting, I would cast Shin Lim as him instead, because I think it'd be funny to have Shin Lim in the movie just doing like actual magic from like America's Got Talent. but I actually thought of the same thing. Like, you know, the CGI-ness of it all makes everything look, I don't know, just... Like, Les Twins are two of the best dancers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes them not look great. Like,
yeah.
I almost wish there would have been a way to, I think I'd mentioned on Ambersing, but with you as well. One, maybe they should have just gone full Pixar completely, all animated cats.
Mm.
It might have had a chance to reach more people or, like, be more accessible visually to people. Mm-hmm. Or find some Godspell movie-like metaphor that lets you be just regular people in the real world. And then, you know, do these songs.
Mm.
Like if they were all in like a trash yard like Godspell and they all like picked up a cat and they were like, no, I'm this cat. But then it was just watching a human being. I just think
Or even if they built the cat costumes out of the trash something like that. Like we're going to put on a play in this junkyard.
Or do that and then go to Pixar World or something.
Sure.
So
there are options.
It was just a weird... thing. It reminded me that, like, I would say about 5 or 10 years ago on the internet, there was a short film that went around that people were like, oh my God, this movie's so creepy. And it was genuinely creepy. It was a very unsettling short film. And the film was called The Cat with Hands because it was about a cat sort of trying to become human and acquiring, like, human body parts or whatever. But this whole movie is cats with hands. That was really weird to see.
It was mostly weird for me with Judi Dench because her coat was so furry and so big that it very clearly was just the end of a coat and then human hands with rings on.
Yes. So we, you know, they have announced they're going to basically patch this movie by sending out a new version.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure this was the old version.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually don't know what they're going to do. Like,
are they going to?
Are they replacing everyone's hands?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I think that'll look weird too.
It's also like, I mean, I know a lot of people are really like, it's weird that they have human feet and hands, which is true. But then, like, some of them are wearing shoes. Like, Skimbleshanks is wearing shoes. Bombalurina is wearing heels. And it's like, why? Where? First of all, what size are those shoes? Well, are you also wearing, like, doll clothes?
But also, Victoria had to be wearing shoes because she was on point.
On point, yeah.
So.
But it looked like, it didn't look like she was had shoes on it. Like, it kind of blended into her
feet. I know, but then it was like, what is she actually standing on?
What is she standing on?
I thought Judy, I always think Judi Dench is good. Like, her Sin and the Clowns to me is the best.
Oh, it's incredible.
The one that's on YouTube. Go watch it now.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And I think her simplicity and clarity of just delivering things works pretty much for anything. So even in this one where she had like, she had a verse in the Beautiful Ghost song. I couldn't really tell. She sang right at, it was weird. So they sing Memory. Jennifer Hudson sings Memory. Then Victoria sings the new song.
Mm.
And then Judi Dench started singing right away.
Mm.
And I was like, what songs are these?
What's happening?
I think I might have mentioned this when I saw Cats in the Summer, but like I think people forget that Memory is a duet.
The first time, and then the second time it's a solo.
It was a duet. First time it was a solo. Second time was a duet tonight.
Right, but in the show
it's reversed.
I believe like there's a part where they come in octaves and there's another cat, but I think that's the first time and then I don't think.
Also, I think there is in memory.
I don't remember
from the stage play if it was Victoria. I don't think it was Victoria.
No, it's not. Okay. I think there is a cat who sings like a verse or a part of it with her as like support.
Whereas in this one, actually, again, narratively, it was like interesting that Victoria like went and like sang her part of the duet to like bring Grisabella back inside.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like it didn't reflect well on her voice to have to sing next to Jennifer Hudson.
Right,
her voice sounded very thin.
Mm-hmm.
There
was that one kind of bitchy cat who never had anything to do.
I didn't like that at all.
No, she was just like, I'm going to hiss at literally everything.
But she really hated Grisabella.
Yeah,
and it was unfortunate to me that she was also an African American actor because it was like, why is she throwing shade at like? Like Grisabella, like it felt the optics of it were very uncomfortable for me, but that was all resolved by the end,
right? Because her voice just changed everything.
Well, she was the one that when she was like, "Touch me," she was the one that like touched her to be like, "It's okay,
I got it, I got you, girl."
I thought Skimbleshanks was good.
Yep,
I think the song's fun.
Skimbleshanks,
yeah,
it's a fun song. I miss them building a train out of trash.
Oh,
that's fun. I missed the boot.
What's the boot?
There's one point where they're doing a big dance number and a giant boot falls center stage. Oh. Like someone
threw something into the trash.
No, like someone was like, shut up, you cats.
Oh,
like someone threw a boot to like, shut up.
I don't remember that. I feel like that might got a cut from the tour.
Oh, maybe.
I don't remember that happening. I'll have to ask Amber if that's something that happened. I couldn't believe that. I don't know what that's called, but the 15-minute dance number, which I have lamented is in the stage version in Act 1, where you're like, what's happening? What's going on? It was like just dancing and dancing and dancing, and then Grisabella sings the first round of Memory.
Mm.
And they kept it for the movie.
Mm.
And it actually had more storytelling in the movie, but I was just like, I can't believe they've kept this.
This whole thing.
This whole thing. And it's just playing the first song again.
Mm-hmm.
Although it had the part that sounds like Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I was all excited because I thought when the first of all, she goes off in a. That's another good question. Is like, how big is that hot air balloon? If it's cat sized,
right? And she's in a chandelier, and she's
the chandelier turns out to be the basket of a hot air balloon.
That then evaporates.
I was all excited that like that would be the end, and I think that's a perfect ending.
Just let her fly away.
Just let her fly away, and they look at her from Trafalgar Square, and then it was very jarring.
Oh. I did not like it at all.
I liked it because I just think Judi Dench is so good.
But like direct to camera, like, hey, I haven't narrated this at all.
Yes.
Actually, somebody else has, but hey, guess what? I'm going to.
So I really liked that moment, actually, but I wish that she had like a 4 lines of dialogue, like Puck at the end of Midsummer.
Sure.
Just ends it and then it's over. And because the reason I turned to you to say this, I was excited because I thought they had cut the last How to Address a Cat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they haven't. And that's so bad. That song is like just they make a big, when they're like, a cat is not a dog. It's like,
what's so,
it's like, because I actually think that the last tableau was pretty clever and fun, being in Trafalgar Square.
On the lion.
On the lion. I thought that was neat. And like, good, just end it, let it end. And it didn't. And then you could feel the audience just being like,
oh my God.
Going
on?
Yeah.
I will say it did suffer. I remember when I saw Little Shop of Horrors in the theater, the movie, I remember the audience groaning at one point.
Oh.
Because because Little Shop was not really advertised as a musical.
Uh-huh.
And I think it tricked people, kind of like Sweeney did. It kind of tricked people to going to see it. And then they're like, oh, wait, this is a musical?
Right.
And I remember she finishes Somewhere That's Green, and then it pans, and it immediately starts Some Fun Now. And I remember the audience groaning, like, oh, my God, we're going into another fucking song immediately. And that's how I felt in this movie, because it's just song after song after song after song. Like, literally, someone sings, and we pan, and then another song just starts. Yeah. And it's like, oh, my God.
That's what I thought was weird about the Grisabella Victoria Deuteronomy stretch in the middle.
Yeah. It's just like, let it end. Just let something end. Let something happen. Let it have a button before or something.
Well, it's also weird because there's no real buttons and there's no applause.
Right.
Although we applauded at the end of this movie. I did, at least.
Yeah.
I actually thought there might be a little vignette at the end, but there wasn't.
Did you stay through the end of the credits?
I stayed like midway through.
I'd be.
I stayed till the midway part. And then I was like, if there's not one at this point, I'm not waiting till the end. Yeah, I was glad to see Ray Winston as Growl Tiger. It was interesting seeing this movie in London, because Ray Winston being Growl Tiger, people were in front of us who were kind of laughing at, like, it's fun that he's like a well-known British actor and he's playing the kind of parts that he plays. So I did think it resonated with our crowd probably more than if we saw it in the US.
Sure.
As he's mentioned, a kid pointed out that it was Trafalgar Square. the kids on the way out, I must say, the kids very much enjoyed that movie.
Oh, yeah?
Because three kids went to the front of the theater at the end and started dancing.
Aww.
Like, they started doing dance moves. waiting for their parents to, like, come down the hill, and they just went down to the front in front of everybody and just started doing dance moves. I thought that was cute.
Did they raise their legs in approval?
I mean, if they had tails, they should have raised them in a creepy way.
Oh, we have to talk about that.
Amber mentioned that as well, but go ahead.
Oh, God, there's the moment, it's kind of right before... It's right before the big dance number, where they're all in that big, like, that big room that they all kind of end up in.
Yes.
And they all start twitching, and then the tails all start twitching.
In sync.
Oh, it was fucking creepy.
That was very creepy.
It was very creepy, and it was oddly sexual, and I really didn't like it.
I also think that with CGI, you almost have to add, and maybe there was, but I don't think there was enough of this. I think you have to add in, like, if they're all going to twitch their tails, they can't all be exactly the same, because then it really doesn't look real.
Mm.
Like, I think there has to be a little imperfection in it. And I will say that that's one thing that's kind of why I felt like Jennifer Hudson was really singing and why I liked her. At one point I was like, this might be my favorite Jennifer Hudson performance. But what they actually left in some of her, like, vocal imperfections.
Mm.
Not imperfections, but like just in the expressiveness of the way she was singing. There's parts where she's like kind of not on the notes, like 100%, where I feel like the other singers, they were all like, you are on the pitch now, and we are adding vibrato.
Mm.
That said, I will say that it was right on the cringy level of like, this is like very ugly crying during memory.
There's a lot of snot.
In a way that I didn't like. Another thing about the kids, then when I was walking out, it was funny. There was a girl just going, she just left and she was just going, cats, 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 cats. And then she went to the poster and she was like, I like this one and I like this one. What's this one called? I like her. And so that was cute. So it was a hit with the kids.
Well, good.
I mean, I think that, I definitely think it's worth seeing. And we were also surprised by how crowded it was.
I was really surprised because all the reports I've seen as far as people like on all that chat or theater boards or whatever were like, I saw Cats today. There were six people in the house.
Yeah. It was like a third full, which was
I would say more than that.
Or half full, maybe.
I would say half, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it wasn't a real big theater, but it was a good size.
I mean, it's still going to be a financial disaster.
Yeah, it's already...
The budget was $95 million.
Which is crazy. And but that's not including the retooling they're doing.
Yeah. The thing is, you can see why it was expensive, because it's all... It's probably all 80%, 85% CGI.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely not... I think the best thing about it is that it's not... It's definitely not playing it safe.
No.
And it's not neutral.
No.
So I think that's to be applauded.
They took a big swing and a big risk.
Yeah. I kind of just wish across the board they had cast better singers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think the dance was ever going to be reflected that well with the CGI.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, I mean, I guess my question about the CGI is, it wasn't motion capture. Like, they filmed them dancing, that's and then motion they just
capture. That's motion capture though. They would capture them with, like, I'm assuming they captured them with the balls on the suits and stuff like that.
Oh, I thought what they did was they actually filmed them and then just animated or added the CGI animation over their bodies.
I think that's possible as well. That would be like rotoscoping. But either way, it adds this sheen of like. The motion doesn't feel quite right.
Yeah.
I would guess that it wasn't that.
Oh.
Because if you do it with the motion capture balls, then you can change the camera angles whenever you want.
Oh.
Whereas the way you're talking about means they would have to have shot the actual shots in this movie and then animated over them, which is much riskier.
And harder.
So that's the difference between, if anyone has ever seen the Lord of the Rings Ralph Bakshi movie, that is rotoscoped, where they took the villains, they filmed them, and then they like drew over them. Oh. And it actually looks really creepy and cool. But I would say most likely they didn't do that, but maybe they did. The only reason I don't think so is because I wonder how much of the... If you do it with the motion capture way, then you can create like someone's cat suit,
mm-hmm.
and then it just gets like... You just move the virtual camera around and it shoots their cat suit correctly. Whereas if you do it frame by frame, like drawing over the actual footage, you'd have to like draw that cat suit
perfectly every time.
But you know what? That's another case where it might have looked better doing it that way.
Mm-hmm. What you said earlier, like the gravity mm-hmm. of the dancing doesn't seem right.
Like when they would do a leap, it didn't feel right.
It didn't feel right, and they were clearly enhancing the jumps. Like there were some jumps where like they were flying clearly.
Yeah,
and it was it looked really awkward.
Yeah,
and unreal in a non fun way.
Also, it's tough, but like I would say, in this entire movie, very little of it actually felt cat like.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's true of the play too. The play I love cats, but the play doesn't really like evoke what it's actually like to have or be a cat. And this is even less.
Mm.
They tried one thing with Jenny Anydots where she like jumped and fell
mm-hmm.
like a cat blooper almost.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't. It never actually ever feels like real cats.
No.
Especially
when she unzips her skin.
Yeah, our cats don't do that.
I mean, maybe they do when we're not around. Maybe they do when we're
just because it's so hot.
Right now they're just like, woof.
Yeah.
There's a production number happening in our living room.
Have we forgotten any other big numbers?
I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything.
I would like every listener to go see this.
And send us your thoughts.
Send us an email at opencallpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you think. Or send us a voicemail even.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have a little clip show of your thoughts.
I will say that the biggest thought I had, the overarching thing that I would like to have happen with this movie is that I think it was when... Gus was singing or just something very strange was happening, maybe with McCavity. Amber also mentioned this, but I do love that he has to like say a word before he disappears. And so, well, he said meow and he said magic.
Which is ridiculous.
But then the time that it fails is when he tries to say ineffable. They really tried to make ineffable stop trying to make ineffable happen. but the thing I would like to do is I would like to go out to wherever NASA put that golden record where we sent out like this, I think it was Voyager or something, with a golden vinyl record that had like representations of humanity. It had like drawings of man and woman, and it had like 10 different languages on a record so that when aliens find it, they could like try to decode our society. I would like to go out and retrieve that and replace it with a Blu-ray of this movie. Just so that some alien civilization, like, they're like, what's going on this planet? And they like get this movie and they're like, what the fuck? And they like turn around and fly off back to the galaxy.
It would be great if they didn't realize that that's not what the planet.
That's what I'm saying.
Like if they thought
that this is like,
this is what they think
virtual Earth is. Record of our, of what's going on our planet. And they're just like,
fuck that.
This is too weird. And
turn
then they're like,
around.
It's too strange. And they roll their tentacles back into their, like, whatever. Everyone in their weird spaceship is like, that place is weird. Let's get out of here. So that's what I would like to have happen.
I like that. I like that idea.
All right. So we'll be back in... I'll be back in a week or so.
I'll be back in 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. So we'll catch you guys up. I might see some shows here. I know I'm going to see Magic Goes Wrong. Mm-hmm. And we might try... I might try to see Duchess of Malfi at the Alameda Theater.
I'd like to see Anne Juliet. Uh-huh. I'd like to see Ghost Quartet, but I don't think we're going to be able to because of the timing.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to see?
I don't know.
I've heard Girl from North County is very good.
Well, also what like we Dylan. Discovered is that coming to London between Christmas and New Year is actually a terrible time to see shows because many of the shows are not on.
Including ours.
Including Voldemort, which took like 5 days off. As opposed to New York City where you could see like 9 shows in that week.
Right.
In between. So there's just less, and honestly, what is here? There's a way more stuff that's like Christmas focused.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to come see like Nutcracker and a panto, and
you could come see Nativity, the pantomime starring Sharon Osbourne.
That's right.
I mean, or you could see 9 to 5 with David Hasselhoff, which
is supposed to be terrible.
I know someone who works in the theater that it's playing in, and he said that he knows the script really well because he hears it every night. And that this was like a couple of weeks ago. So Hasselhoff had been in for about a week or two at that point. And he's like, I'm waiting for him to get one of his lines right.
Mm. Well, maybe we'll go see that. I don't think we will.
It'll be like big.
Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you have a great, this will actually come out after New Year's because we have Amber's and my Frozen episode coming out.
Oh, fun.
But hopefully you had a happy New Year.
Yeah, hope so.
And we'll see you when we get home.
Bye.
Bye.